If you go ahead and open your Bibles, there you go. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We are continuing our series, mini-series, about who are you? We'll go ahead and read the scripture. It says, "This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, appointed by the command of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. God, I thank you for the word that you are about to show us. I pray right now that as we are taking the next several moments, God, that we would hear what you have to say to us tonight. God, that we would have open hearts and open ears and open minds to the word that you are going to show. And that tonight we would not leave the same way that we came. In your name we prayed, and everybody said, amen." Look at your neighbor and say, "Who are you?" Tonight, I hope that you find out exactly who you are tonight. Tonight, that is my job, my goal, is that you would see exactly who you were supposed to be tonight. I came down to the floor tonight to make it a little different, to make it a little bit more personable, be closer to you. But tonight, we're going to finish this series. Last week, we talked about Paul. And we talked about how Paul was a mentor to Timothy. We talked about how Timothy is wrote by Paul as a letter to Timothy as instructions. And we talked about the different aspects of who Paul was. Tonight we're going to change the perspective and we're going to look and see who is Timothy. And then we're going to have an altar time tonight that I think can be very powerful if we completely grasp this situation and grasp this subject tonight. So let me just go ahead and start by saying two books, 1st and 2nd Timothy, written by Paul to Timothy as instructions of how to live his life, how to be a speaker, how to preach, what to do in certain situations. You see, you have to understand is that when Paul wrote these to Timothy, Paul was nearing the end of his ministry and was starting to pour into Timothy what was going to be the beginning of his ministry. You see, Paul was a mentor, but you can't be a mentor without having someone there to pour into. This book, these two books, would mean nothing if Timothy did not take away from what Paul was telling him. So tonight, number one point, this is point, first point is this: Timothy is teachable. You have to be teachable in order to be able to be led. If I was to look at you tonight and I was to say that I want you to do a certain activity, this is what I want you to do, this is how you're supposed to do it, and I give you all of the list of everything that you need to do and I tell you to go ahead and go, and you look at me and the first thing you do is take the paper, you throw it down, and you walk away, I would know right away you are not teachable. I would know that you are somebody that I'm not going to be able to really pour into, that I can continue the work that I was called to do, which is teach you the next step. Too often we think we know exactly what to do. Too often we think that I can go and do it my way, when really we don't have to reinvent the wheel, that was already made ahead of us. All we have to do is continue to roll the wheel the same way that it was always rolled in the past. Now, I do understand that sometimes we can improve the way that the wheel rolls, but the same concept is always there. The concept is always in the spot of point A to point B. Our job as Paul's job was to teach Timothy how to be a minister. Timothy was going to pull things that were all on his own. He was going to have his own relationship with God. But he knew what it was that Paul was trying to teach him, and he became a teachable person. Teenagers and kids, a lot of times they would look at you and say, I already know it all. And you adults, you're shaking your heads, yes. Because I will tell you, at about the age of 2 to probably 21 or 22 before they move out of the house, teenagers and kids, they know it everything. They already know. They think they know, at least. But we find out and we know later on in our lives, we didn't know as much as we thought we knew. And about the age of 24, 25, once you start having a family and having kids, that's when you go back to your parents and go, I was wrong. I know nothing. You are a whole lot brighter than I gave you to be. Why is that? Because we think we've got it all figured out. That the person who is trying to teach us, you're just too far gone past this phase of my life to understand what I'm telling you. You've never been there before. You know the very first example of somebody who was a Paul came straight from Jesus himself? He brought people, disciples, underneath him to teach them what to do. He had been in their situation. He fought against sin. He had temptations. He had struggles. But every single one of those things that he had, he never fell to them. And that's why when we look at this, at Jesus being having disciples with him, we notice that they learned from him. And when they learned from him, they taught it to the next person, which is what he told them to do. The very first message that you heard me speak, I talked about the Great Commission, and it's time to go. But what did I say? We have to teach the person next to us. We have to continue to move the gospel. That's where we begin to show, I've learned this, I'm teaching it to this person. This person's teaching it here, this person's teaching it here. We become disciples of Jesus. My uncle, first time we got out when we were going deer hunting for the first time together, we started putting up tree stands. And he's got his tree stand all together, and he's got a wrench, and he's bolting it down. And all of a sudden, I hear him say, not too tight, Terry. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, first of all, it's just me and him. My name's not Terry. And I know his name's not Terry. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, and tells me the story. He said that his brother, when he was a kid in high school, he had a car. And every week from Monday to Thursday, he would work on that car to get it just right. And Friday and Saturday, he would go out and he would trash that car. Just destroy it. He'd put it in the parking lot on Sunday, and he'd go back Monday and start cranking on that car again, fixing it back up. New parts, new this, new that. He said he was always fixing this car, and he's always messing it up the next week and turning back around and having to fix it again. And he said that his dad would go outside, and he'd look at him, and he'd say, you know, if you didn't drive this car like you did, you wouldn't be out here every week fixing it. And he said, oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. I know what I'm doing. I know how to fix it. And he said, Terry, just be out there wrenching that bolt. Just wrenching. And he said, all of a sudden, he would hear his dad say, not too tight, Terry. And he said, as soon as he said it, Larry, my uncle Larry would look at it, look, and he'd say, I could almost hear it from the kitchen. Not too tight, Terry. He said he'd crank that one more time. I'm all right. Crank it one more time and break the bolt off. And then he took another hour drilling it back out and fixing it again and trying to get another bolt in there. And he said he always heard, not too tight, Terry. So we're out in the woods and he's cranking on this bolt. He goes, not too tight, Terry. And I said, okay. And we talked about the story. And he goes to the next bolt. He starts tightening. I said, not too tight, Terry. He goes, I'm okay. And he stopped. He almost cranked it too hard. And if he'd have cranked it too hard, he probably would have broke the bolt. But you see, my uncle, his brother, Terry was not teachable. At that moment, he thought he knew everything. He thought he knew how to fix the car. If he would have just waited a second and listened to his dad, it would have saved him a lot of time. He wouldn't have had to go back and fix the problem that he just made. He wasn't teachable at that moment. Too many times we start cranking on stuff, and God looks and says, settle down. Well, I know how to fix it. You better stop. And then we mess it up. And we go run into God. God, what did I do? You didn't listen. I told you to stop. And you weren't teachable in that moment. Or we look and we have people who are older than us that look at us and say, here's how you take care of this situation. Here's what you need to do. And we put it back on the shelf and say, I got it figured out. And then all of a sudden, we find out that they were right the whole time. We weren't teachable in that moment. Paul knew that Timothy was teachable. But Timothy had to decide to be teachable. Timothy had to make a decision on whether he was going to listen to Paul's instruction or he was going to, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to what Paul has to say right now. Because to me, it's not a big deal. I'll figure it out on my own, and then maybe later on I'll go talk to Paul and he'll tell me what to do after I mess it up. Timothy was teachable because he respected Paul. The second point is Timothy trusted Paul. It's not just the fact that he listened to Paul, but he trusted that when Paul told him something, he wasn't going to lead him down the wrong path. He saw Paul as a mentor. In fact, we read the scripture where it says that Paul was writing to his son in the faith. So that's like a father figure to him. He trusted him enough that he would listen to exactly what he wanted to tell him. I got a friend who, he was a children's pastor at a church that I was going to. And I was taking some classes and I would call him every once in a while and I'd say, hey, what do I do here? What do I do here? And he never gave me bad advice. I went to another guy who was a mentor of mine right before I started my ministry, when I was actually starting to get into youth ministry. And I sat down with him and I said, what do I need to do? I said, I'm not getting any offers. I don't know where to look. I sat down with him at a McDonald's play place. He had his sons with him and he looked me straight in the eye and he said, there's some things in your life that you need to change. He said, number one, he said, you have this big beard. And Michael has seen a picture of this beard I had. And this beard was big. And he goes, you need to shave your beard. He said, because people are looking at you and that's the first thing they see is that big beard on your face. He said, and they're going to create an image or a thought of who you are based on your face. He said, you wear a lot of sports clothes. St. Louis Cardinals and Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's and camouflage. And he goes, those things are not bad. He goes, you need to change the way you dress. Because they're taking a first look at you and that's the first thing they see. And they're judging you on whether they think you're going to be a good preacher just by the way that you look. I said, okay. And he told me some other things. And I went home and I looked at my wife and I said, there's some stuff we got to change. And she looked at me and she goes, what is it? So I started telling her. Me personally, my flesh said, there ain't no way I'm shaving my beard off. There ain't no way. I got a beard for a reason. One of them was just because I could. The second one is because I'm losing it up here. I don't want to lose it here too. But I said to her, I said, there's some stuff we need to change. I said, there's some outward appearances that need to change. There's some inward stuff that has to change. So I went to the room and I grabbed my razor and I shaved my face. And I took my sports clothes and I put them farther in the closet. I didn't throw them away. I kept those. But I took all this stuff and I started changing my appearance. I started changing me. Did that give me my job, the next job that I wanted? Probably not. But you know what it did? It showed him, number one, that I was teachable. And number two, that I trusted him and whatever he told me, I would do. So the next time that I called him with an issue, he could be straightforward with me. He could look at me and say, this is what you have to do. He could look at me and say, you need to get as far away from that place as you can. And I would do it. Or you know what? You just need to get closer to some people. Maybe you're having an issue with somebody because you're not close enough to them. Or maybe you need to just get away from them as far as you can. Just say, you know what? What's done is done. What's over is over. I'm going to leave them behind. But he realized that I was teachable. And he realized that I trusted him. He was one of my youth pastors when I was a kid. And I have him sometimes. I will have him come and he would preach. And when the first time he came and he preached for me, I invited him to a dodgeball tournament that we had with a whole bunch of different churches. And he came and he preached and he looks at me and he says, this is the point where I become prouder of you than I was before. He said, because now you're in your ministry. You're in your ministry because you were teachable back here. You're in your ministry because you followed in the footsteps of people who had paved the way before you. You see, I didn't reinvent any part of the wheel. I didn't change anything about youth ministry that I hadn't seen other people do. I put my own little spin on it, my own little way to be able to approach the message or approach getting them into the building. But I didn't change anything else. Timothy trusted what Paul had to tell him. Timothy trusted the advice that he had gotten. You know, he learned how to speak by listening to what Paul said. Timothy learned how to speak because he heard Paul say it this way. And he said it the same way. We don't have to be the best speakers, but we do have to be teachable. And we do have to be able to trust people. If I was to ask my son to come up, come here, buddy. I'm going to ask Eli, do you trust me? And he says, yes, he trusts me. So I could do anything to you, and you would trust that I'm not going to hurt you, right? I could tell you to go do something, and you could trust that you're going to come back in one piece. I hope so. But you see, here's the thing. He's following in my example. Whatever I say, he does. Does he always agree with it? Does he sometimes want to do his own thing? But you know what? He knows that when Dad means business, that it's time for him to do what I told him to do. Sometimes he doesn't like it. Sometimes it means turning off the Xbox or not going outside and riding his bike. But I tell him things so that way, one, I know he can learn from what I'm telling him. And number two, that he can learn from me. We have to be able to be teachable, not only as being a Timothy, but also as being Paul. Because I'm going to tell you, this guy right here teaches me a lot. He says yes. He's teaching me every day how to be a better dad. He's teaching me every day how to pray. Because there's times where he'll start praying and I'm like, oh my, I need to be a better prayer. Because he's following in my example. So if he does the real quick, now I lay me down to sleep, prayer, because that's what he's hearing me do, then maybe it's time for me to up my prayer life a little bit. Because by the time that I up my prayer life, he's going to join in. We had a little girl that came, that we were at her house, and they would always say at the end of their prayer, and bless the napkin. For some reason, it was the thing they said. Now, my son and my daughter, they pray that at the end of their prayer. And bless the napkins. And bless Africa. We always bless Africa, too, because of Abby. But kids will learn from the people who are older than them. Yeah. Go ahead. You see, my son, he trusts me. Just like Timothy trusted Paul, my son, trust me. That doesn't come just because you say something. That comes with a relationship that you have. Just as when God would tell you something, if you have a relationship with him, you are going to trust what he tells you to do. And you know why sometimes it's hard for us to not do what God tells us to do? Because we don't trust him at times. And a lot of times it's based on a lack of relationship. Because sometimes when our relationship is messed up, our trust is messed up. And then we can't do what they ask for us to do when it comes time to do it. We can't be on time when somebody asks us to be on time. Because we don't honor them like we should. We can't make it a point to serve somebody in the church because we don't really honor ourselves. We don't really respect ourselves sometimes. You see, Timothy trusted everything that Paul was telling him. He took what Timothy took what Paul was giving him, and you could say what they say all the time. He took it to the bank. If Paul said it, Timothy did it. If Paul told him to do it, he went and did it. If he told him this, he believed it. You know why? Because Paul had a relationship with God first. Paul's relationship with God is what gave Timothy the relationship that he had with God and the relationship they had together with each other. Number three is this. Timothy heard the word from Paul. Now, last week I said that Paul shared the word with Timothy. It's one thing to share the word. It's a total other thing to hear the word. Because I could say stuff all day long and you could ignore it. But when you decide to hear what I am telling you and what I'm saying, that's when action happens. You see, hearing is an action word. You have to do something in order for you to hear. You can't just sit there and just mope on a log and be just like this all the time and hear what somebody's going to say. It's going to take you actually putting something in your head, in your ear, and processing what they're saying for you to get where you're going. You see, Paul talked to Timothy. Paul showed Timothy exactly what to do. He spoke the word to him, but Timothy heard the word. Timothy received what Paul was telling him. Timothy was teachable. Timothy trusted. And Timothy listened. Paul encouraged Timothy with scripture. 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity." Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. This means that Paul was an elder above Timothy. They could have been a year difference, and Timothy was still younger than Paul. They could have been 2 days different, and Timothy was still younger than Paul. To me, when I think of young, I think of pretty good difference. Here's Paul writing this. He's older. He's about to stop out of his ministry. And here's Timothy starting his ministry. So I think my first thing is that we're looking at a teenager. Got a couple of teenagers tonight. I got a couple of kids tonight. What would happen if the adults in this room started pouring into students in this room? What would happen to this church if all of a sudden the adults in the building started praying for the teenagers and the students and the kids in the building? What would happen if all of a sudden the students started receiving what the adults were telling? You see, here's the thing. The older generation, you're looking at it and you're saying, you know what? My time's back here. And I see these new kids. And I see new music coming. And I see new styles of preaching coming. But you also see new pain, new heartache, new problems. And you know what's funny about the new heartache, pain, and problems? To them, it's new. To you, it's nothing new. You've seen it. You've been through it. You know what it's like. I'm just going to be honest. You know what it's like to have that boy. You women, you know what it's like to have that boy come up to you and start talking to you and being all cute to you. These young girls, they don't know what that's like. So why are you not telling them this is what's going to happen? And when they do, don't get all googly-eyed from the first guy. Don't pour your heart all out to that first guy that you meet. Because you know what? That guy may not be the right one. So if I give him part of my heart now, and then I give this part to this guy and this part to this guy, by the time I finally meet my husband, my heart's all over the place. Guys, we got to show these teenagers, especially these teenage boys, we got to show them how to treat women. It's our job as men to show these boys how to treat a woman correctly. Yeah. Not to lust over the body. Not to worry about what she's doing here and what she's doing there, but how to pull her along with you and say, you know what? We're going to go seek God together. We got a lot of teenagers who say, I'll bring my boyfriend. And the first thing me and my wife say is, oh, what church does he go to? Is he saved? Well, no, he doesn't go to church. He doesn't really believe in that. Then why are you with him? The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. That doesn't just mean in marriage. That means in your relationships. And we look at these teenagers and we say, you better not do that. You're falling into something you don't need to be going. Oh, it's okay. I know this guy. I've known him for 6 weeks. We used to have a girl in our youth group a couple of years ago. She had a new boyfriend every other week. She'd bring this guy to church on Wednesday night. Next week, I wouldn't see anybody. The next week after that, here's her new boyfriend coming. Oh, I love him. You don't love him. You can't love somebody in 2 minutes. Unless you're grandma and that baby just got born. These young girls are giving their heart away too quickly. And I'm just going to step on a toe really fast. If you older ladies aren't helping them out, and they're not seeing the example from you, then guess what? They're going to continue to do it. Because here's the thing about being an example. You can be a positive or a negative example. Teenagers are watching what you do. They will watch everything I do. I will tell you right now, if I was to go outside that door right now and peel out in the parking lot, I guarantee you one of the three boys in that back row back there is going to peel out in the parking lot. It'll probably be Nathan. But if he sees me do it, then it's okay for him to do it. What if he was to see me on my knees on Sunday night, right before church, right at this altar, praying? Would he be over here praying too? Would he get my example and take my example? Or would he just go, I'm just going to follow the bad stuff? Because sometimes as parents, we look and we say, why are they doing that? And then you think back and you go, it's because I did that when I was a kid. But they haven't heard anything from you saying, this is a bad road. This is a bad place to go right now. You don't need to be going there. Don't let that come into your life right now. Stay away from that as far as you can. Paul knew he was supposed to teach Timothy and show him about the scriptures and how to apply them. And Timothy heard what he had to say. Timothy learned from Paul's leadership. Paul learned by having a relationship with God. Timothy completed and continued the legacy that Paul had started. You want your legacy to continue? You want your things that you have said and done to continue, pour into somebody younger than you. Yeah. Tonight I'm going to ask you a simple question. I asked you at the beginning, your neighbor asked you at the beginning of service, who are you? I've kind of gone a little quick tonight, getting us out a couple minutes early maybe, from preaching at least. But here's what I want you to hear. When I ask you the question, who are you? Can you honestly answer it? Here's the answer, because I'm going to give it to you. You ready? you are Paul and you're Timothy. You are always putting into somebody and always receiving. They always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But guess what? That old dog can teach a young dog to not do something. That old dog can show the new dog that comes in to replace it, this is when you go outside when they open the door. This is where the food is. That old dog can teach a lot of things. You may not be able to teach them a whole lot after a certain age, but to have somebody pour into them and somebody that they can pour into. I don't care if you're 100 or if you're 2. There will always be somebody for you to pour into. And there will always be somebody to pour into you. This is nothing new. This isn't anything that we don't know already. In fact, businesses use this same model in every single business in the United States. They use this model. There is a CEO, the guy who is the top dog in the company. And then there's the guy who just got hired 2 minutes ago. And in between these two things, these two people, there are what they call managers and associates, assistant managers. There's somebody above that's always pouring into the people below. And then the people who are getting poured in down here are showing the next person. When I got here, the first thing that Pastor told me before I even got here, he said, there's a couple of guys. There's a couple of guys who want to do youth ministry. He said, I think it's about time to give them a chance. Let's see how they do. I said, okay. I said, I don't have a problem doing that. The first week, I called him in. I said, hey, I said, we're going to have youth Wednesday night. I need you to be here at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, three guys showed up. We went in across the room. We started talking, and I gave them a whole list. A list of expectations. A list of things you do and don't do in youth ministry. What do I expect from you? And then I looked at them and said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do what you say you want to do. You feel like God's called you to do ministry. I looked at every single one of them, and all three of them said yes. And I said, okay. I said, my job is to pour into you. Your job is to pour into students. I'm Paul, they're Timothy. When I pour into them, they're Timothy. When they're pouring into the youth underneath them, they become Paul. You're always Paul and you're always Timothy. So I looked at all of them and I said, is this still something you want to do? And they said, yes. And I told them, okay, find somebody that you can pour into and pour into them. They have to be younger than you. My job is to pour into you, but you have to find somebody younger than you to pour into. Did I not? I said that all three of you, didn't I? Is it my job to find out exactly who they're pouring into? No. It's not my job to make sure that Timothy's doing his job as being Paul now. But what it is my job to do is to pour into Timothy. And it is my job to find somebody that can pour into me. You see, back home I have a couple of guys that I consider my mentors. Guys that if I called them today, I know I could get them on the phone and say, here's what's going on in ministry. What do I do in this situation? But you know what? Sometimes they don't answer the phone. You know why? Because that's the time where they're teaching me. Sometimes you have to do it on your own. Sometimes you got to figure it out by yourself. Once you figure it out, I'll be there to let you know if you did it right or if you need to fix something. Sometimes you have to figure it out on your own. But 90% of the time, there's always going to be somebody there that will pour in to you. Tonight I'm going to do an altar call a little different than I've done before. I want to ask, first off, if you have heard the message in the last 2 weeks, if you weren't here last week, you already know what I talked about last week because I already recapped it. But I'm going to ask you tonight, are you ready to be Paul? Now, this is going to take a little bit of audience participation. This is going to take a little bit of dedication on your end. I'm going to ask that just for this part of the service, that if you are at the age of 20 and under, that you do not raise your hand that you want to be Paul, just for this part. So that means anybody who is an adult in here tonight, 20 or over, if you say, you know what, I'm ready for God to use me to speak into a student or a child, I'm going to ask that you would just raise your hand. If you are 20 and under, I want you to look around in this room. Boys, stop for 1 second and look around this room. Look at these hands that are raised. There's hands all the way from the left side of the building all the way to the right side of the building of people who want to pour in to your life. People who are saying, you know what? You can trust me. I want to speak the word to you. And they want to give you some of the advice that they've had and they've gone through in their life. If you're at 20 and under, I want you to answer this. Are you ready to have an adult who has a little bit of experience to pour into your life? If you could say yes, I want you to raise your hand. All over. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you have your hand up and you're 20 or younger, Michael, this is going to take a little bit of time. You're going to have to get your crutches up. 20 and younger, if you raise your hand, I want you to come stand right here. This is only going to take a couple minutes. If you raise your hand, 20 and younger, you want somebody to pour into you, I want you to come right here. I want you to look out here. Look out there. They're waiting. These guys are waiting for somebody in this church who has a little bit of experience to pour into them. So I want to ask you is if you raise your hand and you say, yes, I want to pour into somebody. I want to have the opportunity to pour in to a student or to a child tonight. I want to ask you if you would come and just stand right here. We're going to separate the room right in half. You can have this whole section over here. Look at that. You guys, take a second and look over there. Those are grandparents. Those are moms and dads, aunts and uncles, husband and wives. They've all said that they want to be able to pour into you their experience. Mark and Marilyn, come here. You both have told me that you'll do whatever God tells you to do. Children's ministry, you do whatever He wants you to do. You have a heart for those kids. It starts with having a Paul spirit and having a Timothy that can pour, you can pour into. I want you guys to pray over here. Three of you grandmas to come with me. All three of you. Stay.
Sitting on the edge, I'm ready to cast my net. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. There's gotta be more. I'm sitting on the edge, I'm ready to cast my net. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. There's gotta be more. Here I am, you can use me. Spirit God, oh, oh. up, fill me up, God. You can fill me up, fill me up, God. You can fill me up, God. Fill me with your Spirit, God. You can fill me up, God. You can fill me up, God. You can fill me up, God. Fill me with your Spirit, God. I'm standing on the edge. I'm ready to cast my net. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. There's gotta be more. I'm standing on the edge. I'm ready to cast my net. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. There's gotta be myself away. I give myself